Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak to my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels, and we render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. And we will continue our teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. So if you found Hebrews 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 5 through 11. And it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scorns every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God will deal with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. We're going to continue our teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. So let's look at how God chastens. How does God chasten his children? God chastens us because he loves us. He wants us to succeed, to live the overcoming Christian life to the best of our abilities. Now, I would like to read from the JPS Hebrew English Tanakh, the traditional Hebrew text. And we're going to go to the book of Psalm 94. So please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 94. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it tells us, "Happy is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, the man you instruct in your teaching." Amen. Let me repeat that again. It says, "Happy is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, the man you instruct in your teaching." And that word happy actually means blessed. So we can say, "Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord." So God chastens us by disciplining us. Amen. Now please turn to your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 19. And it says, and this is Jesus speaking, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, let's look at a couple of words here. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And that word chasten here means discipline. And then it says, "Therefore, be zealous," or "to be eager and repent." So that verse can read this way: "As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be eager and repent." So our Heavenly Father, he disciplines us and he instructs us in his teachings. We are supposed to be blessed when God chastens us. You are not blessed when sickness, disease, or calamities attempt to destroy you. When you are blessed, you receive something that will benefit you, that will enhance your life for the better, not the worse. I mentioned last week that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A reward is like a blessing, something that will not only benefit you, but improve your life and make it better, not worse. When God teaches us, we are blessed. Let me repeat that, because maybe a lot of people don't understand that. Because a lot of people get the notion that God puts things on you to make you obedient, to make you do the things that you should be doing. No, God is not like that. It says here, when God teaches us, we are blessed. How then are we taught? The verse just prior to that, we are taught by God's discipline. That verse we just read tells us how God teaches us. And it tells us, happy or blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, the man you instruct with your teachings or with your law or the word of God. The word teaching is a synonym for the word of God. That is how God teaches and trains us, not by punishing us, not by putting sickness, diseases, or calamities on us. He trains us by his word. He trains us by his word. God gets his word to us through the ministry gifts he has placed in the church. He does not come down and do it personally, but he does it in the local church through the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, because that is where the body of Christ gathers together for fellowship. If we submit to the authority God has placed in the church, he will train us. Amen. Let me repeat that because I want to make sure you understand that. If we submit to the authority God has placed in the church, he will train us. The challenge is so many people refuse to submit to the authority of God. You have a free will not to. They are missing the point because it is not me that's coming up with the things I say. They may think it's me, but it is not. It is the word of the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we must understand that when God whips us, he does it in love. Everything God does, he does it in love, because the scripture tells us that God is love. The Lord only wants to assist us. He wants to teach us and train us to be winners in the things of God. At times, chastening can hurt. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." To scourge sometimes means to whip that individual. This is what they did to Jesus. Now, please go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Again, that's Matthew, chapter 27. And we're going to go to verse 24 through 26. And it says, "When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that atonement was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and our children.' Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." That is what they did to Jesus. The Bible says they scourged him. When you whip somebody, even if it is only by telling that person something that could save their life, it is going to hurt. That person might not be grateful, or he might be grateful later on that you took the time and effort to help. But initially, there may be some pains. Amen? Now, every time the Lord leads me to talk to someone about their religious beliefs, and he does it on a variety or various of times to help me to discuss persons' religious ideologies that don't agree with the word of God, it hurts that person. God is trying to help, and they get angry about what I say. They are not getting angry at me. They're getting angry at God because he is whipping on them. Don't let your anger hinder your relationship with the Lord. He is not going to punish them, but that is the effect it has when they rebel against God chastening. It is just like being whipped, and it hurts. Yes, it does. It hurts to be whipped because everybody do not like to be whipped, but sometimes it has to be done. Amen. It is painful, but God says through the Apostle Paul that he scourges every son. He is training us, teaching us, his children. That is how he does it, through his word. He doesn't whip us. He doesn't beat us. He trains us through his word. He attempts to help us every way that he can. And most of the time, most people will not receive his help. But he is going to do it through his word. It is not going to do it through the circumstances. You may choose to, and you can learn something through the circumstances, but that is not the way God wants you to learn. You can learn through the circumstances, but that not is God's way to learn. He wants you to learn by his word. It is much less painful, and you will not have to go through as much. Amen. It is less painful, and you would not have to go through so much. That is one reason it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be open for God to give you the divine direction and need to minister to and help the people. Let me repeat that. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be open for God to give you the divine direction you need to minister to and to help the people. God only knows what goes on behind closed doors in your house. I do not know. And he is not coming down here to do something about it. But he will do it through the ministry gifts that he has set in the church. When the minister is not filled with the Spirit, he does not have this insight. That is why many ministers do not say anything in the service that chastens people. How can they? They do not have the mind of the Spirit. They do not know what you as an individual are going through. Listen to what I'm about to say very closely. These ministers always try to say something that sounds good to the people, so the people will continue to come and give offerings to the church. The assumption is that if you make people angry, they will not give an offering. So most of the time, these preachers, instead of doing what the Spirit of God has commanded them to do, they will say things that will pacify the people. Things that sound good, but it has no real substance or value. Amen. No substance or no value. That way, people will not get upset and quit coming to church. You know how people are. They get their feelings a little hurt, and they stop coming to church. Now, please go to the book of John, chapter 8. Again, John, chapter 8. And we're going to read, beginning with verse, let's go to 31 and 32. And Jesus is speaking, and it says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the only way you will be totally free in the things of God is that you know the truth. And sometimes the chastening by our Father is the only way for you to realize his love for you. Now, in this verse that we just read, it says, "If you abide in my word." So if is the qualifier. That means you are going to want to have to do it. If you abide in my word. God is not going to abide for you. You have to do it. It says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So the flip side of that is, if you do not abide in my word, you are not my disciples. So which one are you? Are you one of his disciples or you are not one of his disciples? The choice is yours to make because God has given each one of us a free will to make that decision. Amen. It's according to your faith, be it done unto you. Let me give you a news flash. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to be obedient because I want the blessings that God has already given to us. I am even shocked at some of the things that come out of my mouth. I am going to get in trouble sometimes, but I have a mandate from God, and it is the Spirit of God operating through me that is saying these things. God is not going to come down to earth and stand behind the pulpit to tell people what to do. If he did, you would listen to him. You might think you have a legitimate excuse for not listening to me because I am just a man. What do I know? But you better learn how to discern the Spirit of God or you're going to be in trouble. Amen. You better learn how to discern the Spirit of God or you're going to be in trouble. Now, chastening is also training. Chastening is also training because we found out that when you chasten someone, what you're basically doing is child training. Amen. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 16. Now, we have this statement, and it says, all scripture. Now, what does it say? It says all scripture. So that means none is left out. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that word instruction in this verse in the Greek is the same word translated as chasten in Hebrews 12. We could read 2 Timothy like this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for chastening in righteousness. Amen. Now, again, chastening is instruction. It's instruction. Is not punishment. It is instruction. Again, instruction is not punishment. Another facet of the chastening of the Lord is found in Hebrews chapter 6. Please go there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 4. And it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Let's repeat that. It's a very powerful scripture. And it says, and you fathers. So he's speaking to the fathers. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but train them up. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, the word training in Ephesians is also the same Greek word for chastening in Hebrews 12. To train is the same as to instruct or point in the right directions. Training, instruction, and chastening all refer to the same thing. The best way to relate to this is to think about faithfulness. Think about faithfulness. God is teaching us all the time through his own faithfulness about the fact that we should be faithful. Remember, the scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. However, some people have heard the word, but they have not let it make contact in their spirit. Or they've heard the word, but it just has not made contact with their spirit. They are unfaithful to the things of God because their word is not any good. Because of this, God cannot trust these people. He loves them, of course, but he cannot trust them. God cannot give some Christians some things because they cannot handle them, even though they have prayed and confessed that they have those items. Our Father is a wise Father. He cannot allow those things to get to them or to go to them because they are not faithful. These are people who have been saved for 25 to 30 years and still cannot be trusted. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Please join us next week when we continue our teaching on who the God loves, he chastens.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.